So today's scripture, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and you can flip them open to chapter or to Romans, the book of Romans, towards the back of your Bibles. And we're going to be in chapter 12. And our verse is the second verse written by the Apostle Paul. And he writes, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God indeed. Let's pray one more time. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your ears, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. For it is in your holy and precious name that we pray. Amen. Okay, so I want you to think about someone in this world that you admire. But before you do, I have one stipulation. It needs to be somebody who is famous. So turn to the person next to you or behind you or beside you. That is the person next to you. And tell that person, someone you admire that is famous. Go. Okay, so I am not one to ask you to do something that I am unwilling to do myself. And so I'm going to tell you who I admire. And it is a celebrity named Taylor Allison Swift. The millennials and Gen Zers know. We're on Swift Talk. So for those of you who don't happen to know who Miss Swift is, she is an artist of epic proportions. She has good concerts and makes good music, and she's pretty awesome. Now, let's all be clear, especially for those of you who may not know who Taylor Swift is. Everyone has their own Taylor Swift of their life, of their time. Some of you in this room, you don't care who Taylor Swift is, but you did stand in line when the Beatles put out their album, Abbey Road. Some of you stayed up and watched on TV as Neil Armstrong walked on the moon for the first time. Some of you look up to people like Tyra Banks and Billy Joel as role models. These are all celebrities. And each one of these celebrities is a power player in their own right during their time. And every one of us in this room, I think we all heard it, has people in our lives that we look up to, people that we may not know, but we think are cool. They do awesome stuff. And that's okay. We can look around and say, hey, you know what? Taylor Swift is great. But there is a difference between admiring someone and trying to be like them. Taylor Swift is great and I love her, but I do not try to be like her. And that is kind of where Paul is leading us today in today's scripture. Now, before we go any further, let's acquaint ourselves with what is going on at the time that Paul is writing the book of Romans. So Paul is in the middle of his third missionary journey when he starts writing to the Romans. And he is actually getting ready to go back to Jerusalem. And he's writing the book of Romans for, does anyone have a guess who it's for? The Romans. Specifically, Gentile Christians in Rome, though there were a couple of Jewish Christians in the congregation as well. And as he writes, he is in the middle of preparing those in Rome for his upcoming visit, while also focusing on God's promise to bring salvation to both the Jews and the Gentiles, to everyone alike. And here in chapter 12, Paul chooses to focus on the body of Christ, on the church. So, church, this was written for you and for me. So listen up. But that's not all that's going on at this time. When Paul is writing to the Romans, the Roman Empire is thriving. And at the time, the Roman Emperor, his name was, and I have to look at this because I can't remember it, Nero Claudius Caesar Augustus Germanicus. We're going to call him Nero for short. And Nero was very popular among his guard. They really liked their boss. Most of us do, maybe. And the commoners in Rome really liked Nero too. He was a little different. He was 16 at the time that he took the throne, and he was a poet, a musician, a charioteer. He was also an actor. All of these things that he did were what the commoners did back in the day. They weren't the Taylor Swifts or the Billy Joels or the Beatles. The people who performed weren't popular. And so while the commoners really liked it, they really liked that their emperor was kind of down to earth, the aristocrats in Rome really didn't like it. They looked down upon him as he spent his time entertaining the masses with his talents. Now, lest you think otherwise, Nero was also known to be compulsive, corrupt, brutally violent, and I don't use these words lightly, evil. Nero was an evil, evil man. He targeted the Christians. He specifically called out those who claimed Jesus as their Christ, and he went after them. In fact, in Acts chapter 25, verse 10, when Paul is pleading to this Caesar for grace and for justice and mercy, it's Nero that's on the throne. Paul is begging Nero for grace in Acts chapter 25. And while we can't verify, many scholars believe that Nero was the person who was on the throne when Paul and Peter both were martyred. And though Paul is away from Rome at this time, he isn't present. He very well knows what is going on in Rome. He knows what the emperor is doing. He knows that the emperor is targeting the church. And yet, if you look through the book of Romans, nowhere does Paul write that Nero should stop acting like the madman that he is and instead behave like those in the church. He doesn't request that of Nero. Paul never expected Nero to behave like the Christians. Rather, Paul, he expects the Christians to not behave like their emperor. And while we don't have a maniacal emperor on the throne in today's society, someone who burns cities for entertainment, the command that Paul gives to the Romans still stands for us. do not conform to the patterns of this world. Do not conform to those who are empowered. Do not conform to those who have status. Do not be like the people of this world. Do not let the world dictate how you act, how you think, how you behave, how you feel. But that's not the end of the verse. It keeps going. Paul goes on in Romans to encourage the Christians that he's writing to in Rome to pursue transformation by what? By reaching for status in this world, by having the best chariot that money can buy, by having a good familial reputation? No. That is not what Paul recommends. Rather, he says that by the renewing of your mind, that is where you can find transformation. Then and only then, when you renew your mind, are you able to seek after the will of God. The past couple of weeks, we've been looking at the future of the church that we can be. And we've talked about dreams that our staff has for many of our ministries. We've talked about with full volunteer rosters and updated dedicated spaces, our kids and youth ministries could continue to grow and thrive in our community, that we would continue to reach more families and students so that they could come to know who Jesus is. We've dreamed about going back out and being the hands and feet of Christ, locally and globally. In fact, we have given you the opportunity to do that before you even walk out of this room by participating in Operation Christmas Child. And I hope you do that. I hope you do grab a box or two or five and fill them up so that we can send them out as we share Jesus with kids throughout the world. And today we're going to talk about discipleship, about this renewing of our minds so that we can seek after God as a way of life, not just life in the here and now, but life in eternity. And as the discipleship pastor, it's my honor to share with you some of these dreams that our staff has created that we hold in our hearts for what discipleship at this church might look like in the coming year. And where would I start if not in the Word of God? So the Bible is so important to the lives of those who call themselves Christians. It's where we go to look for when we don't know the answer. It's when we're all alone and we don't have anyone to ask for advice, we go to Scripture and seek out Jesus' voice. The Word of God, our Bible, is literally God-breathed, the most holy and precious book that we have access to throughout the world. And there are people who come in through those doors and these side doors that don't own one. They've told me so. I've had people in this room tell me that they don't own a Bible, and not just kids, but adults who have lived in Mississippi their entire lives, and they don't have access to a physical Bible. And so one of my dreams as a staff person is to have Bibles available in the room at all times, so that if you don't have a Bible, you can raise your hand and we can give you one. And you can follow along when whoever's up here preaching is preaching, and then you can take it home if you want. So that each and every person that comes through these doors has access to Scripture, both in the church and outside of that church. That is my dream, that we would provide the Word to anyone who needs it. Because it's only by spending time in God's Word that we are renewed. Another way of intentional discipleship that we have at this church is by being involved in the life of the church. Now, right now, I'm not talking about volunteering in discipleship programs. I do believe that we should all be volunteering and pouring our lives into the ministries around us. But it's not enough to volunteer in a ministry. As believers, we should be involved in these ministries as well, so that we are being poured into, so that we can go and pour out to those around us. And I have good news for you. We have a ton of discipleship opportunities for that to happen. We have small groups on almost every day of the week. We have Wednesday night activities. We have Sunday school classes. Some of you in this room, faithfully each week, teach and attend Sunday school. And yet, our staff still dreams for more opportunities for people to come and learn more about Jesus. We long to host financial peace classes because there are people who need to know some financial goals with a scriptural lens. They need some advice. We hope to have groups that can walk those going through grief or those who are entering into a big life change. I personally long for us to have a thriving women's ministry. That's a ministry that at my home church at Parkway Heights in Hattiesburg that poured itself into me when I was just a high schooler. And so one of my dreams is for the women of this church, the wisest women that we have, to sit and fellowship with our youngest ladies. And maybe, just maybe, Nancy Pavey and Kay Farmer can tell Brooke Presswood who Tammy Faye is. They told me that a couple weeks ago. That's why I mentioned that. That is my goal for intergenerational discipleship with one another. For it's only in those moments where we can be renewed. Can I share with you what might be a selfish dream of mine? It might be selfish, but it's honest, so I'm going to share it. I'm nothing if not honest. As a young adult, I dream every single day to have groups and groups of young adults discipled in our church. We live in a city that is primed to grow. We're less than a mile from a college, where college students learn and fall in love with the city of Clinton and they decide to stay and put roots. This is a city where families come because we have the best school system in what I would argue is the Southeast, not just Mississippi. The city that we were planted in to serve is primed to grow, especially with young adults. And as a church, we have to ask ourselves if we are primed to grow with them and for them. Both now and in the future. And if you know church statistics in the past 20 years, you know that our 20-somethings, our 30-somethings, those are the people that we need to be reaching out to. Not just for this church, but for the church at large. They are a mission field in and of itself. I share these dreams with you because that's what Paul is getting at here in the book of Romans when he discusses the renewing of your mind. He wants those in Rome to avoid conforming to the world, knowing that the patterns of this world are not from God but from the enemy. And the same things stand true today. Rather, he spurs them to pursue transformation, which can only be done by renewing their minds. And Paul would spur us on to the same thing, to pursue the renewing of their minds. So let's break down that phrase. Paul gives this command to the Romans to deeply pursue an intelligent life. That is a characteristic of a disciple, of a believer, is to pursue an intelligent life. Not only that, but in the scriptures, Paul gives us a glimpse into the mere fact that this transformation is ongoing. The English teachers in the room probably caught it. Did you pick up on the tense that he uses? Paul uses the present tense when he discusses renewing your mind, meaning that it is ongoing. It is never finished. As believers, we are never done being discipled. We never know it all. We have never sat through enough classes. We have never spent enough time in the Word. We are never done chasing after discipleship opportunities, many of which that we have here right now at our church. To pursue the will of God is to pursue the transformation of your mind. Unless you think that because Ricky's not here, you won't get any Greek, I have good news for you. You're not getting out of it. So let's transform our minds together. We're going to learn some Greek for the day. So the Greek word for the word transform is metamorpho. So y'all say that with me, metamorpho. Say it one more time with feeling. Metamorpho. Don't ask Ricky how he pronounces it. He learned a different way of translation than I did. I am right. Everyone say metamorpho. Perfect. So I know another word that that Greek word reminds me of. And if you can remember back to fifth grade science, you might as well. Something that Miss Amanda touched on. It's like she knew. So before a butterfly becomes a butterfly, they start out as a caterpillar, a baby immature caterpillar. Fresh, new. And through a process of eating and growing and eating and growing and eating, I think that's what the book, The Hungry Caterpillar, told us, that by eating and then by resting in a cocoon, right? Cocoon? James told me, yes, cocoon. In this process of eating and then resting, they transform into a big, beautiful butterfly. Miss Amanda hit it on the head earlier during kids' moments. We don't start out as big, beautiful, adult, mature butterflies that are knowledgeable and transformed. No, we start out as caterpillars who constantly need to be fed. And it is only by that feeding, by that resting in the Word of God, pursuing the life of a disciple, that we turn into a butterfly. Paul never expected for Nero to behave like the Christians did. But he did expect for the Christians to not behave like Nero. Instead, he expected the Christians to behave like a butterfly or like a caterpillar pursuing the life of a butterfly, feeding on the Word of God, being transformed each and every day like it was their job, so that each day they could be renewed time and time again. And they were transformed more and more. Just as the Roman Christians were commanded to renew their minds, so are we. We have been called to pursue metamorpho, to pursue a life-changing transformation in this world. And we have plenty of opportunities here at this church to do so. But we dream of doing even more so we can reach even more, so that they too may be transformed. I think it's time for us to bring those dreams into a reality. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you have welcomed us into your life as caterpillars, as immature people who don't know anything. And we give you thanks for calling us to a life of pursuing growth, of never staying the same. You accept us as you find us, Lord, but you never leave us as you find us. God, we give you thanks for all of the discipleship opportunities that you have given us through this church that so many in this room call home. And we pray that you would continue to move and use us so that we can both be discipled and teach more disciples. In the future, and right now in the present. For it is in your holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.